How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends. With me, Susie Ruffle.
Oh, and with me, Tom Allen. Sorry, I didn't know there was a pause there. I didn't know whether to jump in or not.
Do you know what? There wasn't a pause, but I sort of forgot how we do it.
Sorry.
Sorry.
What are you liking?
I'm a pain in the ass.
You've been working very hard, though.
We've all been working very hard.
You've all been working hard for the money.
For the money, for the dollar bills.
Yeah.
No, you've just got back from Australia.
Well, yes, not long back.
And it was very successful.
Well, it was a very nice time. It was very nice. I liked it very much. I went to Melbourne and Sydney.
Tom got nominated for the main prize, which is very exciting.
I don't like to talk about it, but yes, I did.
Did you get some sort of trophy?
No, actually, there was nothing to show for it.
Oh. So yeah. I could say that I've been nominated for it.
No, Susie. Well, somebody did point out to me that you could just say you've won and no one will question it.
Why don't you do that?
Maybe
so Tom won an award in Australia.
See what James Acaster says about that.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Acaster.
Yeah. I think he might have something to say.
I think he might. He's a lovely boy.
It was a lovely trip. I really enjoyed it. I did eat a lot. And once, when I got into an Uber, my waistcoat exploded.
How many buttons?
Just one.
That's fine.
It was right in the middle, though, Suze.
Oh, that is disappointing. Were you with anyone?
Yes. It's with Harry. You know Harry.
Do I know Harry?
Harry. What's Harry's surname?
Oh, Harry, who is Joe Lycett's tour manager.
Yeah.
Yes. I love Harry.
He's such
I don't
a
know
nice
his
boy.
Name. He's such a lovely boy.
And us, because he's a baldy as well.
Sure.
And I dragged him to a gay bar in Sydney called The Imperial, which was very nice. Although the work, you know, my least favourite thing happened.
You didn't get recognised.
actually, that did happen. But the other thing, which is straight people at the gay bar.
Hate
I don't
it.
Like it. I don't mind whatever we're calling them allies. But no.
Hindus at gay bars can get fucked.
They can go. Also, straight men who clearly are just in there to sort of pick up girls.
Oh, absolutely not. You've got the whole world.
Yeah. And there was this other guy, right, who was wearing a suit. And I was like, he's wearing a suit like me. And he came over and chatted to me. And he was quite a handsome guy. And then as soon as he started talking, he was awful. And was like, one of them was like, tell us a joke then, tell us a joke.
Oh.
He would say, I'm funny. I don't think you're funny. Like, being like, negging me.
I hate that.
Yeah.
In like a flirty way.
No, in like a blokey banter way, which I was having none of and I was too tired.
I don't understand any of this negging business.
Yeah, I don't. It feels very, well, I don't want to say it feels very straight, but actually now I've heard it from gay people. I think just people just don't like me.
No, I don't think that's true. But I think that it is a weird thing of being like, I'm going to put you down so that you feel low enough to fancy me.
Yeah, that is such a weird thing. Why would you do that?
Because people are awful.
People are awful, aren't they? Like, who has got the sort of planning time as well to be like, okay, I'm on my way to the bar. This is my strategy.
Yeah, so first of all, I'll say I don't like his shoes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 6 years later we'll get married.
Yeah, and then he'll feel so rubbish about himself that he'll be like, oh, wow, he didn't like my shoes, but he still asked me out for another day.
You don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
Now, Tom, what I wanted to talk to you about this week...
Yes.
...is don't sound so bored.
That was my inquisitive yes.
Oh, was it? You need to work on that.
Yeah.
You sound very similar to your bored yes.
Crossover, yeah.
I want to talk about a tweet that went viral that you did.
Oh, is that what they call going viral?
You went viral.
Wow.
It's not when you have to go to that clinic on Dean Street.
I was going to say, when you get a text message. Oh, fine. Oh.
So, take us through what happened. You posted something on Facebook?
Well, no, you were very encouraging about all this, Susie. Because
I'm very encouraging.
She's
sometimes
very
in a negative
friend.
Way.
No.
Drink, carry on, fuck it.
But it's better than negging, as we discussed.
It is.
As previously discussed. And I had, I get it quite a bit. That not quite. Every now and then, someone will send me a tweet or something, be like, "Oh, this bloke doesn't stop going on about being gay," and I'm like, "Well, I do talk about it because I think it's important and it's part of who I am. So if I don't mention it, I'm sort of slightly strangulating part of my identity."
Well, and also I think that sometimes when you don't mention your sexuality, people are like, "Do they know?
Yeah, exactly. Are they not they need to explain a bit." Like, yeah,
you know, like you can only talk about experiences in your life, and in your life you are a gay man.
Yes, 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 I absolutely am. Tell all your friends. And it has influenced my outlook on the world. It has changed the way that I view things. So I do mention
And also being someone that's sort of camp, or, you know, or a bit different, for want of a better word, in the same way that I get, it's like the world then treats you in a slightly different way. So you can only react to what's happening. I was doing a preview of my new show the other day, and I said, I'm sort of bored about talking about homophobia, but it keeps happening.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Until it stops happening, I feel like I have to say something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, go on.
No, but it feels exactly like that. And I think, like, in years gone by, a lot of entertainers were camp as a sort of, like, subtle, like, byword for, like, by the way, I'm gay, but I can't say it.
Yeah.
And now it sort of feels like, well, if I'm camp, I sort of have to say, I don't have to, but I can say I'm gay. I don't have to use it as a byword, but also it's being camp is just an extra thing, really.
Yeah, and also it's just owning who you are.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And not sort of going, oh, I'm sorry that this doesn't fit your heteronormative world.
Yes, yeah.
Like, I am going to be different, and it's not, and also it's not for your benefits, because I'm just being me.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
doing this because I know, and people have said this to me about Alan Carr, who I love, where people have been like, oh, does he sort of have that very camp voice off stage? And you're like, yeah, that's who he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's an assumption that, like, stop putting it on, or
stop being an act.
And yeah, like, stop making a fuss.
Yeah, but it's like, no, actually what's happened is people aren't putting on an act because finally they feel that they can be who they are.
Yes,
but
yes.
The only way that some people can view it is like, oh, I suppose you're doing this to make a fuss.
Yeah, exactly. And actually being flamboyant and being sort of, well, yeah, fabulous or whatever, or being extra, as some memes would say. Being, like, filling your personality to the top of the balloon is...
That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, you know, like a balloon, a bit saggy.
Yeah, mine are some. But that's no, 33 to you.
No, that's not true. I want to hear a bit. So I just sort of think, like, I don't get, like, it's been said before, but, like, straight people do talk about being straight. Like,
oh, I was on a bill at a club I will not mention the name of.
And who's this bill?
I can't talk about it, but he's the only guy. but I was on a bill at a gig that you could imagine, I'm sure.
Sure.
And literally every man went on. I was the only woman on. And they were all white men, all white straight men. And they all had good bits of stand-up, but about being between 35 and 50.
Right.
Living with their wives.
Yeah.
And an anecdote from that part of their life.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally everyone was like, they're all different people, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're allowed to talk about that, and it's not, oh, it's not them banging on about being straight, it's just them existing in the world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
like,
yeah.
Even still, we're not given that allowance to just exist.
Because
if we talk about it, then, like, oh, you're still talking about that.
Yes, exactly that, exactly. And I feel like there are probably queer theorists out there who've probably articulated it more succinctly than I can.
No, I think that what we've done here is probably better than a book. So if you're doing, like, some sort of degree.
Yeah, and just stop.
Or if you want to, like, reference us rather than a book.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine.
I'd love to be quoted in a PhD.
Oh.
If anybody's out there. can make that dream a reality. But absolutely. And I think that, yeah, I think as well there's that otherness about it.
Mm.
That if you go, you know, you walk out and the audience is mainly straight people. I think, like, part of stand-up is addressing and celebrating, like, our differences.
Of course.
But to do that, you have to acknowledge them, I think. So
yeah.
I think... So anyway, I got one too many, and I thought, It played on my mind for about a day, and then I sent you...
And this is like Twitter and Facebook, and like when people have no identities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You sort of shout.
Yeah, into exactly.
A bag.
Basically shouting into... Are you calling me a bag?
Yeah.
And then I responded and just sort of... Well, I drafted a sort of longer response, and I sent it, a screen grab of it to you, and I said, what do you think about this? I feel like I should say something, and then I did, and then I... And you said very, very encouragingly to... share it widely.
So the guy was sort of saying, oh, we get it, you're gay.
Yeah, basically, yeah, stop talking about being gay, we get it.
And then can you give us the highlights of the tweet that you sent back? Something, because it was very funny as well.
He said, stop going on about being gay every 5 minutes. And so I was like, but I have to every 5 minutes. I've got a timer. and it's very embarrassing, especially at funerals. I'm gay. And I sort of wanted to say, like, you know, for some people, just sort of, you know, having people around that talk about it up front.
Yeah.
It's quite... not that I'm saving lives, but it's just sort of, it just sort of means that hopefully that, you know, a bit of that conversation's already been had.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the thing. I think that, you know, I remember the relief I felt when I saw Rhona Cameron on I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah. Yes.
Being very just unashamedly, as she should be, but just being gay.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh my god, this is huge.
Being unashamed, I think, is so revolutionary in every walk of life.
Yeah, it's not just a gay thing, is it? It's like just being able to be, although I still feel shame, like, sort of constantly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lovely idea, isn't it?
But, I mean, sure, yeah, not to use it as, like, stop being ashamed, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I think some of the kind of maxims can be, like, just celebrate yourself, live your best life, and that just becomes, like, I can't, I've got to pay my taxes.
What's my best life meant to look like?
Now I'm going to design my best life? I'm sorry.
But I'm so tired.
can't I just sit in bed crying again? And you can sometimes, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Of that, I find quite a lot of guilt about resting.
Yes.
Do you get that?
Yes, absolutely.
So I've been on the road for a bit, as you, like, in a similar way to what you were earlier in the year, just like touring constantly, which is super fun and I've loved it. And if you're one of the many like-minded friends that have come to the tour show, thank you so much. I've been having an absolute blast. I've been loving it. But there's that thing of, like, I've got a day off or 2 days off.
Yeah.
And I feel really guilty if I don't, like, go to the gym.
It's
or, like,
so hard.
I need to do something with my day off. I must actually go into town. I should. The sun's shining. I should. Like, I had a day where the sun was shining and I was like, I'm going to stay in the house all day.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then by about 6 o'clock, I was like, oh, I should have made the most of the sun.
No, but I think that's just a way of beating ourselves up and it not being, I don't know, I feel like there's some sort of meditative state that we should get to, you know, being like, whatever I did was the right thing.
That's nice.
You know, but I think, yeah, I do that too. I did that a bit, like, there was a day in Sydney when I was like, I should go and see the bridge.
Yeah.
But I just want to stay in my little hotel room and look at the view and maybe go down to that swimming pool that's downstairs that I haven't used, which I still didn't do. But
get some room service.
Did I do that? I went downstairs. There was like a cafe downstairs. I went there.
Lovely.
And just lazed about. And I was like, yeah, this is great. I mean, it's on my terms.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think it's... You do sort of... I don't know. I do sort of forget that you're sort of allowed to do that. And I don't know whether it comes from maybe like my childhood of my dad being like, get up, go to work, do a thing, don't lay in bed, that's lazy. And I think now, because I work nights, but I still have that sort of voice in my head of being like, don't be a lazy person.
You've got
to get up in the morning.
You've
got to do things.
Like, my mum and dad would not have, like, the idea of just having like a duvet day, like,
absolutely not,
absolutely unacceptable. And I'm proud of them for it. But
I'd also like one.
I quite like, if I was to say, like, oh, I'm just not going to get up today, my mum and dad would be a bit like, what do you mean?
Are you ill?
Are you ill or something? Yeah, unless you're ill, what do you... Even then, I think they're a bit irritated.
Yeah, they're like, just take some tablets and crack on.
Yeah, were you allowed to take days off sick at school?
Not really. I occasionally did.
Yeah, same.
But I would be bunking off more.
Oh, did you bunk off?
Yeah.
Did you get caught?
Yeah, once I did by my mum.
Oh my god, where were you?
In Tesco having a breakfast. And mum and nanny walked in, and mum was like,
Then
she was like, I'll pay for our breakfast.
So you were still in the line?
Yeah, with like a whole breakfast on my plate.
Of all the places to go.
I know, like that's how big my dreams were.
Tesco like
Cafe. When I lived in Portsmouth.
Oh,
and in Portsmouth it was not a cafe, it was definitely a caf.
Oh, but I love it though. What did you have, a full English?
Yeah, full English. But with no mushrooms, because I think they taste dirty quite a lot of the time.
Do you? But yeah. You're a vegetarian.
I was occasionally veg, yeah.
Occasional veg.
I am doing a meat-free one day of the week now.
I was just pausing for the round of applause.
you're such a prick.
Oh, that's lovely. That is nice. No, that is nice. How's that going?
Fine. I mean, it's actually very easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, because I was reading this thing about like what's a good thing that you can do for climate change.
Yeah.
And basically, if we all went meat free one day a week,
yeah,
it'd be really good for the environment.
I think that's absolutely what we should do.
Can we just pause for Tom's round of applause?
Suddenly, the epiphany's happened. What a turnaround! What a journey we've been on.
Tina turnaround.
What a Tina turnaround.
But yeah, that's interesting that you have that as well, because we're from sort of quite a similar background.
Yeah.
Similar families.
And similar, like, it's funny to me that, like, a day out in my childhood was, like, going to a big Tesco, like, with Nan.
Yeah.
My Nan would be, like, involved in that.
Yeah. And then, like, maybe you'd push the trolley.
Yeah.
That sort of carry on.
Even now, like, that's the sort of thing my mum loves to do. Like, my aunt's
a big shop, yeah.
From Australia. And, yeah, and sort of, like, mooching around a shop.
Oh, yeah, so, but Tom, we've spent many an hour in John Lewis.
Yes, it's just a
lovely place to be.
Lovely place to be. I don't think I bought anything on those trips either.
No, just looked at some Le Creuset.
Yeah.
Thought, yeah. Oh, that's a nice thread count.
Exactly.
What's not to enjoy?
It's so much to love. But yeah, and that's. And were they annoyed with you?
In the Tesco Cafe? No, I don't think so. I had such a horrible time at school that I think my mum was just like, oh, just don't make too much of a fuss and
behave
as much as you can.
Just get through it.
Yeah, just get through it. And I think because my mum and dad didn't have, I'm not from a massively academic family, but there wasn't loads of pressure put on school. The more pressure was like, bizarrely, the pressure was like, I had to have a Saturday job and I wouldn't really be allowed to not go to that unless I was really poorly.
Yeah.
So it was a different sort of like things that like they, like I said that I wanted to go to like dancing classes and I wanted to do AmDram. And it was very much like, well, you're making the effort to do this, so you've got to really commit.
Yeah.
And because that was things that I was sort of good at. Whereas I think that my mum was a bit like, I don't know why you're doing another term on photosynthesis, which now looking back, I mean, I don't know why I did another
it's
term.
It's not really come in that handy, has it?
I'm like never with leaves.
Yeah.
Like although very seldom.
You when you have your meat free Fridays.
Of course.
Then you'll need your photosynthesis.
Then I'll need my photosynthesis. But don't you feel like there were so many classes you did like they've just never come up?
Sure. It's never come up in a quiz.
Yeah.
Like, I seem to remember the economic disparity in Italy was a thing we studied in geography once, North and South Divide.
I mean,
seldom have I used that.
Yeah, but then isn't it bizarre that we like never learnt about like the race riots in Brixton, which are actually like really important things,
recent
that we should know about, that we should have an understanding of in order for like our society to step forward. Yeah. We need to like acknowledge these things have happened and talk about them. But instead it's like, so, this is a Sphinx.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's kind of useful for one lesson to sort of know that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you don't seem to do, I don't know, the more recent history, which is actually, by the way, it's good for you to have a knowledge of this going forward in your life so that.
Yeah.
Because you're probably going to encounter people that this thing has affected.
Are you glad you, because I went to a comprehensive as well. Are you glad you went to a comprehensive school?
Comp as in boys and girls.
And just like a normal school.
Yeah, like a normal school. Yeah. Although I do think that, see, this is a difficult thing. I think that if I'd gone to sort of a private school, maybe I would have got a better education. And maybe there would have been a teacher that was like, oh, by the way, you're not, because I felt stupid for quite a long time.
Right, yeah.
And it's taken me a long time as an adult to be like, oh no, I'm a writer, I can write.
Sure.
I'm just really dyslexic.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because I think that whilst comprehensive school can, like, in my experience, like, it teaches you about different people from all different walks of life. Everybody's mixing together and you sort of have to get along. Frankly, it's just the class sizes.
Yeah.
Like, you've got, like, 30 kids in a room. Like, private schools had, like, 15.
Yeah, that's the thing. And some of my friends that went to private schools did much better in their exams, much better than their A-levels, had a lot more options when it came to sort of university and things. But then, of course, I don't love the idea of, like, if I had a child, I'd feel very awkward about supporting the private school system, because you're like, oh, this is so elitist and only so many people can have it, and you can only have it if your parents are wealthy. But I do wonder now that I'm really happy because everything led me to stand up, and I wonder if I'd be doing that if I'd done something else.
What I would have ended up doing.
Yeah, and like maybe I'd just have a job in an office.
Yeah. How different all our lives could have been.
Yeah, but which I'm sure would have been, you know, enjoyable in the same way.
Yeah, great offense.
I think I would have I'd bring a real razzmatazz to the office, I think.
I think that's the first word they would use, yeah.
Thank you, I appreciate that, Tom.
Yeah, that would be on your CV as well. Razzmatazz to the office, 2011 to 2019.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I imagine you stay in the job for a long time.
3 years, thank you.
Dedicated very, very much to the company.
But yeah, and that does make me wonder, like, you know, if I'd had a teacher that had the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in many ways, I don't really blame the teachers at my school because they were... It was, like, hard.
Mm.
And some of the kids were naughty. I wasn't naughty. I was just disinterested, disengaged.
Well, of course. I mean, it's hard to be engaged, isn't it, if you're not feeling like...
Yeah, like you can do it.
And yeah. But, I mean, I was lucky. I had some really great teachers. And I'm more as I got older. But in the first few years, I was like, what is this? Like, why are we all sat in rows just learning about economic disparity in Italy?
And how often has that come up?
Hardly at all.
Shocking, really. I would have thought it would have come up a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, Milan is the economic centre of Italy, it turns out. But
good to know.
Yeah, because of the fashion industry. Or other things, but I don't know. But anyway, thank you for encouraging me to do that tweet.
Hey, I'm really pleased that you did it.
And I don't know, somebody must have shared it initially, that it then... Because I put it up and then...
I think a lot of, like, I think maybe Dara shared it and a lot of other big comedy people shared it.
Because I literally couldn't see.
Like, yeah, because it's like 70,000 people liked it or something. Yeah, like 100,000 people liked it. So you can't be like, oh, who shared this?
Yeah, I literally was like, well, who's, I don't know who's instigated this. But
do you think a lot of people got behind it?
A lot of people did, which I'm very grateful about. And I will be talking about being gay.
Forever.
This is all I've got.
It's good for you, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to us here on Like Minded Friends. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week for more fun.
For more fun and for more, you know, taking down homophobes.
Oh my God.
And Italy's economic crisis.
Thank you. Finally. All right.
Okay, bye. Cheers. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.